I mean, it's clear from a European and sort of a U.S. perspective that they must stem this immediate crisis in Europe and in the Eurozone. But, you know, the G20 can't just be about that. And the reality is the crisis in Greece has a direct impact on developing countries, and including Africa. Europe is one of the largest center of remittances around the world. As Europe gets poorer, those remittances begin to dry up. European banks have a large presence in Africa. Bank credits will also continue to draw up. And as European countries begin to try to deal with their own fiscal crisis, one of the first areas where we fear we will see cuts is in official development assistance. So there is a direct relationship between this crisis in Europe and flows of resources to Africa and development efforts around the world.
Sam, for you and for other development experts who are there in Cannes, is it ironic that the big industrial powers are debating austerity measures versus stimulus, for example, which is which in particular in Africa has been a source of debate for decades now?
And I think it is ironic that we're experiencing, in essence, a structural adjustment in Europe and in the United States. The reality of running unsustainable surpluses, but more deeply, a recognition that some of the banking practices and an unregulated financial system getting ahead of itself is reverberating throughout the economies in much of the developed world. The challenge is how not to overreact so that we don't see a deep period of pulling back poor economic performance, and ultimately in the real economy, high unemployment and individuals foreclosing on their houses and so forth. This is the crisis we're in right now. It is a crisis that can only be resolved if the world recognizes that the engines of growth throughout the world must be inclusive. Growth in Africa, growth in other parts of the world, are now central to the well-being of people all over the world. This ability to build an inclusive growth ultimately depends upon development efforts. So there is now a direct economic relationship between development efforts in Africa, growth in African countries, and longer-term global recovery.
One of the topics of discussion at the G20 summit is exactly that. How does the world, how does the G20 promote growth at the same time balance its budgets, tweak them as needed? Some people have said that austerity is fine in the long term. The immediate thing to do is to have stimulus. Have you seen anything in this conference that indicates any compromise between the various points of view on this topic?
It's not clear at this point that there is a real appetite for stimulus. It seems that more that people are trying to plug holes. They are, in essence, trying to put fingers in a dike of a financial system, and national economic challenges and debt systems here in Europe that need to be readied by large infusions of cash. That cash is not forthcoming, and there seems to be little appetite to invest in the type of stimulus that we saw early on in the end of the 2008 crisis.
Some of the issues being discussed also at the conference include food price volatility. How does food price volatility affect Africa, and what are some of the solutions being offered?
It's ironic at a time that you have a focus on crises in the Eurozone that we have the first famine of the 21st century unfolding in the Horn of Africa, with 13 million people being food insecure and literally some 750,000 people at risk of starvation. High food prices coming from the food price spike that happened several years ago have continued across the world as demand for food climate change speculation around food has kept food prices high. There is and has been a broad recognition among many of the world leaders in the U.S. and in Europe of the need to address food security. The solutions being offered here in Cannes are important, but not sufficient. One of the big proposals that is being debated in the communique right now are issues of food stocks in West Africa. At this point in time, it looks likely, as far as we could tell, that some form of food reserves would be put in place, but solely for humanitarian uses in Africa. The broader question of regulation of food prices and the deeper fulfillment of the commitment made in the G8 Aquila of $22 billion at this point still remain elusive.
An Interaction news release also mentions that the G20 should play a leadership role in ensuring previous food and agricultural pledges are met and the donor funds are rebalanced. Rebalance to improve nutrition and reach small-scale farmers. How would one go about doing that, rebalancing donor funds? What's involved there?
I think the challenge here is to find the necessary resources. It's both a focus on production a focus on the quality and type of food. But the rebalancing of funds here really is where can the broad development community find the resources necessary to fund a range of large-scale development enterprises, from meeting the Global Climate Fund needed to the pledge made on food security. At this point in time, the best ideas out there are actually coming from a paper that Bill Gates will be presenting to the G20 this afternoon. This key report is looking at alternative financial mechanisms that countries might use to raise the necessary resources.
Those alternative ideas include a tax on financial services. How would that work, and is it making any difference, do you think, at the conference that Bill Gates supports that tax?
I had the opportunity yesterday to join a group of French NGOs and international NGOs in an hour-and-a-half meeting with President Sarkozy, where we discussed this proposal in some detail. It's clear that there are strong areas of objection. At this point in time, the latest comments we're seeing from the U.S. would be perhaps some degree of tolerance. But the core here will depend whether the Eurozone is willing and able to apply this tax. There's the UK will clearly not be on board, so it will come down to Germany and France and other Euro countries. That means a process that will at some point need to make it through Brussels. It is unlikely that France will act alone. We're seeing some support from South Africa and other groups. African countries have largely been silent in their support of this tax. But if it is put in place, it could generate depending on the amount of countries, from $9 to $60 billion of revenues out there. What's important about the Gates report, in addition to this, is that it looks at a wide range of other financing mechanisms, from bunker tax, which is in essence a tax on shipping, a tax on tobacco, but also importantly, a closing of both issues of corruption and tax havens, and a better reporting of corporations and multinationals operating in every country, in essence calling for all corporations to report all their profits and taxes by country, thus enabling countries to increase their amount of local tax and increase their ability to fund their own development efforts.